Ava Haas, your maiden name, and with the class of 1956. And so we're going to just talk about SAIS and reflect on your years in Bologna. I have a variety of questions that I want to ask you, and we can certainly stray from the questions. I hope I have this on. Is it going? Yes, it's going. Okay. Yes, I can. make sure I've got it on tape. Right. So you've seen the series of questions, and the first one was what brought you to SAIS and the Bologna Center during the first year of operation of the Bologna Center. It being so new. So, Ava, what do you remember?
How did I find out about it?
Yeah, how did you find out about it? What do you remember about it? What drew you to the Bologna Center?
When I was a senior in college, at Bologna College in California, I decided I wanted to go to Europe the first year after graduation. My professor thought that would be a real waste of time. He thought it would be a lost year. And so he wanted me to go to an American graduate school, preferably Yale, where he had gotten his PhD. And so he was kind of annoyed at me because I persisted in saying, go to Europe for me. And one day he called me in and gave me a packet of information and said, I think this will interest you. And that was the application to the Bologna Center. And so I went up for an interview to San Francisco, got accepted, got a fellowship, and then went to Bologna.
Wow. That's exciting. That is very,
it was very
exciting. And for being so young too, to just travel there and to in a European setting, and that must have been absolutely exciting. So in terms of your a vivid memory, you know, think back and tell me what was that? It could be either a social or academic vivid memory. But do then comment on sort of the course that sort of influenced you most. So vivid memory first.
Okay. I guess what stood out most was the sense and spirit of community during that year in Bologna. That, the friendliness and the openness, and yet because there was some diversity, there was also some excitement, and it was very interesting. And some of the customs, of course, were somewhat different. And what I remember so well was when I turned 21, because I was the youngest there, as it happened. And on my birthday, about 8 of the Europeans came one by one to the apartment and brought me bouquets of flowers. And I thought that was just a lovely celebration.
Wonderful way to start.
Yeah, so that really made it special.
And the course that you remember most?
The courses, I think I'd like to talk about two or three. And my memory's not great of the courses, of any details of the courses. But there was one course by Professor Toscano, who was a diplomatic historian, very distinguished gentleman. And I thought he taught a very good course. Another course that I thought was really interesting and lively was taught by Professor Grosser, who was familiar both with Germany and with France. And I don't know whether he wrote books before Bologna, but he certainly, throughout his career, talked about Germany and France, because he was born in Germany and then had immigrated to France. And he taught a very exciting course. I think it was trade unions in France.
Did you talk much about current history? Because one thing I want to ask you is about it was 10 years after the war. Here you were in Bologna. Do you remember much about the politics of the time?
Well, not that
something
much.
That happened that stood out?
Not really. I remember that, you know, about European integration, of course,
yeah.
All the discussions about that.
Sure.
And about the differences, you know, between France and Germany and the attempts to go beyond that, to get beyond that. Another thing I remember was that in another course, and I don't remember which one it was, which I think was taught by Professor Whitley, I think was his name, who was a fairly young American who I think was an assistant to Professor Loftus. And I went to Geneva for a whole week to do research, and I'd never really spent a whole week on any project, just because the libraries in Geneva had the right materials. Mm-hmm. And it was, I think my paper was something on some post-war treaties, mm-hmm. and I guess I was looking at the negotiating history and yeah. the discussions, and that was very exciting, I thought.
Yes. You were in the right place, for sure.
Right. You know, but to be able to spend a whole week, you
yeah.
know, just at the library.
Well, that's another, I mean, the resources of Europe, I mean, and to look at integration and other issues of the time, you were in the right place. So.
And we had, you know, really wonderful visiting people, and because we were so small, we got to meet them because there were generally receptions mm-hmm. for the dignitaries who would come to give us lectures and things like that, and that, you know. That made it easy. I think it's easier when you're small than if you are a, you know, larger institution.
Absolutely. So, you have a very distinguished career, and I guess my next question has to do with, you know, pulling in the SAIS experience and then you moving on to law school. What, you know, talk about that sort of that transition and.
I think that SAIS really had a great effect on my career, actually, because when I went to law school, I didn't really have any particular career in mind. And in the fall of my third year, my last year, I had decided pretty much that I wanted to work at the Justice Department in Washington. And of course, I knew Washington from being at SAIS. And so justice has many divisions. It has, you know, tax and civil and criminal and antitrust. And the person who came to interview for the Justice Department was the head of the antitrust division. Mm-hmm. He was interviewing for the whole department. And soon thereafter, after I interviewed, I got an offer from the antitrust division. And I got an offer for a very particular job, which was in the foreign commerce section. That was a very small section in the antitrust division, which dealt with international antitrust matters, or U.S. antitrust cases, which had foreign connotations. And so I was hired for that. And the first job after law school somehow does have an influence.
Absolutely, with the internationalism and the,
right.
the legal, and you couldn't have a better pairing.
So that was, you know, that was really, you know, a good match.
A perfect match.
And after that, I moved to Treasury, which also in the international part of the General Counsel's office. And Treasury, again, deals with many, many matters. Mm-hmm. And deals with trade.
What stands out in your mind as a case at work that was most memorable, given all the...
In my first job, for example?
Yeah, it could be in your first job or your second, but there's got to be something that stands out as...
Well, there are many things that stand out. In my first job, I was involved in what is called the quinidine case. Mm-hmm. That was a criminal case, so we had a grand jury in New York, mm-hmm. which dealt with an international conspiracy to fix the price of quinine. disappointed. Mm-hmm. And we had gotten a hold of all the meetings and discussions among the conspirators, which I believe European companies. Actually, it was because I think it was the Congress that had first managed to get those minutes. Mm-hmm. And so we had a grand jury, and then we had indictments, and then there were fines, and then the European antitrust authorities picked that up, mm-hmm. and they too went against those companies, which were, after all, most of them European. So that was, you know,
it was exciting.
So there was a resolution. Other exciting things, I suppose, in Treasury. Treasury has the lead with regard to the multilateral development banks, mm-hmm. and with regard to the IMF, mm-hmm. the Secretary of the Treasury, the U.S. government.
Yes, of course.
So I became very much involved in matters, in legal matters, or in advising on legal matters dealing with the multilateral development banks, with the resources, with the articles of agreements, and so on.
And if you had to pick one accomplishment in your career, what would it be?
I don't really know, because this was interesting, mm-hmm. and then I moved on to the World Bank mm-hmm. For the last 15 years. That I was working in there. I did some of the same things I'd done at Treasury, mm-hmm. but from the perspective of the bank. At Treasury, I was really representing the U.S. government in negotiations or advising on that, and at the bank, I was representing the bank. So, and I did a lot with regard to the internal regime. With regard to dispute resolution, executive mm-hmm. directors, mm-hmm. and things like that. So each job had its very interesting aspects, mm-hmm. And I was quite involved in many issues that I thought mm-hmm. were very interesting, and I convinced myself were very significant.
Of course, and they were. Now, if you were to give advice today to a SCI student, what would you say to them?
I think that's always very difficult, especially because I think that things have changed so much. Mm-hmm. And, you know, what I notice is that there's so much emphasis on doing what will look good on one's resume. Mm-hmm. And I don't remember when I was a student, mm-hmm. thinking quite that way. Mm-hmm. But I think SCI students have so many opportunities and they should take advantage of all the wonderful opportunities they have. For example, Bologna, meeting people of different cultures, seeing different cities, the art, the history. Mm-hmm. And I think not only does that contribute to one's resume, mm-hmm. but I think this also develops you as a person. Mm-hmm. The other thing I noticed, which is
okay, so the other thing that you...
Oh, I thought you had to answer it, no?
No, are you kidding? This is more interesting.
No, I thought maybe I could.
What could be more important than this?
The other thing which I noticed, which I thought was really interesting, was all the joint programs, mm-hmm. which SCI now has. And I think that's a wonderful thing to participate in. And it seems to me that everybody should consider at least whether there is one in which the particular student has an interest, because you know, while I say, oh, you shouldn't look at your resume, you know, you shouldn't worry about these things all the time, think it's good to worry about it some of the time. Mm-hmm. And I think that probably makes you even more marketable, mm-hmm. and gives you more options. And then if you have more options, you can go with those things which fit your personality best. Mm-hmm. Because that certainly is something which I have learned, that it's important to have a job which is very consistent with your personality.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. That's good advice, and I'm going to make sure the career services hears what you have to say, because they, every day they offer advice to students, and what better way for career services to then to simply transfer what our alumni know and offer as advice to our students. So I'm going to make sure that they hear our interview. Okay, a question that I haven't asked, mm-hmm. perhaps one that I should ask. What I want to do is just turn the table and have you frame up a question that you think would be important for me to ask you that I've forgotten. So I'm turning the table a little bit here in the interview.
Well, one of the questions which was asked, mm-hmm. Was, do I have any regrets?
Ah, do you have any regrets? There we go. Yes.
And I must say, I don't have any regrets at all about my year in Bologna. Mm-hmm. One thing which I do regret, mm-hmm. however, is that I did not keep in touch with more of the students, mm-hmm. because, as I said at the beginning, it was really a wonderful year. Mm-hmm. And I remember in that context that Professor Haynes, when we had our last picnic, party, whatever, at the beach, mm-hmm. at the beginning of June, just before we left, mm-hmm. rather, he said during the year he sometimes wondered whether the year was a success. Mm-hmm. But when he saw all of us together that day, he knew the year was a great success.
That's wonderful. And so I think we'll end there. Couldn't end on a better note of success. So, Ava, thank you so much, and and this concludes our interview.
Well, thank you. Is that okay?
It's great.